Welcome to Grind.
Grind.
Sell.
Sell.
Elevate.
Elevate.
With your host, Tizer Evans, a podcast dedicated to bringing you the top minds in all areas of business, entrepreneurship, sales, and leadership. Let's elevate together.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. This is Tizer Evans, your host on Grind, Sell, and Elevate. And I'm here with Chrissy Robinson, who is the founder and president slash CEO of Color Addict. She's also a brand strategist. What her company focuses on is helping you get your brand elevated. Chrissy, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, love if you could just introduce yourself a little bit more in depth than I just did.
Yeah, no problem. So like you said, I'm a brand strategist. One of my biggest roles that I play at my company is a creative director. Unfortunately, at this moment, due to high demand, I don't do as much of the work as I used to. So we do websites, we do logo design, we do social media marketing. So my role is more of the strategic, like setting the strategy, and then my team helps me execute. So I have a team of 13 at the moment. We are a fully remote team, so I have lots of advice on that stuff. But my day-to-day is pretty much managing people and then managing expectations, setting up those strategies for our clients, and then helping my team to execute. So in a nutshell, that's kind of everything that I do. And then, I won't talk about the other thing just yet.
Oh, no, jump into it.
I was going to say, I also, a lot of people don't know this, but I also have a women's entrepreneur group, and that is called Boss Bitch, a completely different company. But I have that as well. So if I'm introducing myself, that's kind of a part of me too.
So. Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. My wife's a female entrepreneur. So okay. I'm always very supportive of anybody in that space and helping one another, I think super important. Yeah. How did you get into, before I know you read a little bit about, you left your 9-to-5 to found Color Addict and to jump out into your own. And now you've got two companies. Mm-hmm. What was that transition like, and kind of what were you doing before to give you the confidence or, you know, the indication that I should jump out into my own?
So the transition, to be perfectly honest, was rough. And I think every successful entrepreneur would probably agree with me, unless they had just like amazing personal development characteristics before then. So what I like to say about business, and especially my own journey, is running my business really forced me to look at a lot of my, let's say, male practices and really get serious about them. So like when I was working for 9-to-5, I didn't really care too much about time. Time was just kind of fluctuating. Discipline and systems weren't necessary. They were kind of given to me and I just kind of went through them. Mm-hmm. And flow and flexibility was something that I really cherished. But when it comes to running a business, you kind of need to have those systems in place. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, what everyone's talking about, like all the different business systems, but even just your own, like having a morning routine, getting up every day, getting dressed, looking presentable, just for you, even if you don't meet with clients on Zoom, but just feel good. I'm a firm believer that if you look good, you feel good. And so there were certain things that I learned along my journey that really, really helped me with my confidence, with just like overall how I present myself, my discipline is out of this world right now. Productivity, right? What actual productivity is, not what everybody thinks it is. So many different like aha moments throughout the journey, but to be perfectly honest, it was stressful. I was sad. I was just overwhelmed and lost like everyone else starts, but I found my way and I'm here today.
No,
I did not mean that to rhyme.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it for us. What was kind of like that aha moment for you? The moment you had the epiphany of like, hey, I've got to be doing this full time.
Yeah. So I actually love that question. I didn't gracefully make a leap like some people. My transition or departure, if you will, from my 9-to-5 was not one of my choice, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So as far as when I finally, because of course I could have gotten another job. I'm sure. Fully qualified. I've got 2 degrees. I could have got another job. But that decision to not was really just having faith in myself and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I give myself 3 months to make what I can make in corporate America. I can make that. And then if I hit my goal, I would stay. And I did. I worked really, 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 really hard. I worked really hard. Okay. I was up to like 4 o'clock in the morning, getting up again at 7. Had a few like side hustle jobs and just still doing my business as well, because I had clientele. I've always had clientele. But what it showed me is that the numbers are possible. And so once I was able to hit that goal, I said to myself, okay, if I can make this, if this is doable, now I just have to get better. I have to get more efficient. I have to charge more. I have to up my level of quality. I have to just be able to make this where it's repeatable, right? Because mm-hmm. the way I was running was not repeatable. I probably wouldn't even be here today. So that was basically my focus. But once I realized that the numbers, that money is abundant, one, and that the numbers are there and that you can easily make money online from complete strangers across the world, that really opened up. It kind of like fleshed out, I unlearned a behavior, like a limiting belief that I had. I believe mm-hmm. that I wanted to, you know, retire from a company at 40 or something. Like I just had no real idea of what was possible in entrepreneurship. And so once that was unlearned, I was unleashed. And that was just about making it work.
No, I think it's great. I think you hit the nail on the head that sometimes you got to give yourself a, you know, a little bit of a ramp, right? You don't know this because we've never met before, but I just quit my corporate job on Friday. And I had,
congratulations.
Thank you. And I had been kind of building something on the side and thought that it could replace my income. And I shit you not, I'm 3 days in. And in the last 3 days, I've made more money than I normally would make in a two week period.
Yep.
And it was just like, and I've worked, I don't know, a total of 6 hours the last 3 days. I mean, I know that's bad. I shouldn't say that. I should be doing more, but it was just one of those things where it was more like, oh my God, like I should have done this 2 years ago, you know?
You realize what's really possible. It's the money mindset for me. Like a lot of entrepreneurs, that they would just work on the stories they were told as children around money and how you make it and what success looks like in wealth and generational wealth. If we really just unlearned a lot of that stuff we were taught, we'd all have no problem stepping out on faith. But it's the money that holds us. It's that security, that false security blanket that holds us in place.
I totally agree. Now, when you started to jump out onto your own, I know you said you had a little bit, maybe some clientele of people from your corporate job that came over with you or people you could reach out to that you could start doing business with immediately. But how did you start to attack your business? And you said you're working a lot of hours. Were you cold outreach on social or were you picking up the phone? Kind of what was your strategy to build your company?
That's a great question. Or to answer, I have to take a step back. So, and it's very, very crucial. So what I realized is that, again, money is abundant. Everybody, like, no matter where you look, it's being made, right? And so at first, I was getting like really small projects, people who just really weren't necessarily in business. They were just, got my LLC, need a logo. I was working way too hard. I was giving them 9 logos for $50. I was just working way too hard. And so my challenge became, how do I attract my ideal client, which is basically what you're asking me. So the first step that I did is I looked at, well, everyone was telling me first, you got to know who your target market is. And I hate when people say that because it's like, there's no database. You can just search who is my target market. How can I find them? Right? So one of the first steps that I did is I actually started interviewing my previous clients. Now, back in the day, so I probably had at least 100 clients under my belt from the point where I like pivoted my company. So I had a nice little chunk of people I could survey, but I sent out 20 emails. I did 9 interviews kind of similar to this, and I just picked their brain. And I wasn't trying to sell to them. I just said, where are you looking for services? What's your number one product? Who are you listening to on Instagram? Who do you pay attention to on YouTube? What kind of books do you read? I asked them questions to understand their day-to-day, right? Them on a personal level. And this is truly brand strategy, right? When you're talking about who your customers are on a personal level, that it just really like changes everything. Mm-hmm. So from these conversations that I had, I created like a little grid and I looked at the commonalities between them. And then it was like, wow, all this time I had been targeting people based off of the service, right? Because everyone needs a logo. Everybody needs a website. Everybody needs business cards. Everyone, right? I was targeting them for the service, but in reality, my clients, what they were actually looking for had nothing to do with the service. They were not informed properly. So for example, let's take a startup company. What they would do is, got my LLC. Ooh, it's only $50. Got my LLC. I need a website and a logo and business cards. And they'd come to someone like me. And then they would, one, have a very small budget. because they're just starting a business. They're probably still working a 9-to-5. And sure. Then two, they would have no idea what they were looking for. No idea about their brand strategy. No idea about anything. They sometimes not even services. You'd be surprised how many calls I get on till this day where I'm like, you don't know how you're going to make money? Why are you talking to me?
Right.
So it was mastering that skill set of being able to identify who I'm talking to really, really quickly and getting them into the right buckets, providing services for one versus services for the other. And so some of the strategies that I use from a sales perspective, I've done sales calls. They suck. I've done a Facebook outreach using Facebook groups to kind of incubate my audience. Not my own Facebook group, by the way. I use a different strategy that I built myself. Basically, what I do is I hang out in, I don't do this anymore, but this is how I kind of built my clientele. I would hang out in Facebook groups and I would look for posts or comments of people struggling with different things that I knew I could help with. And then I would just kind of send them a DM, give some advice, put them in my CRM, follow up, maintain that relationship. And then at some point I'd make an offer. So I've done that. I've used all kinds of lead generation platforms like Upwork, Fiverr, Thumbtack. Never had any success on Fiverr. It's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like their marketing. They market like cheap stuff. And yeah. I'm not cheap.
Right. Fiverr.
You should care about quality. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I've used a whole bunch of different sales strategies where pretty much probably anything you can name. I've done like the business cards, the EDDM, all kinds of different things. I found what works for me. But when I'm usually advising others, I tell them to talk to their ideal clients, which is why I led with that bit in the beginning. Know who your customers are and where they're looking for you and show up in that place.
You know, one of the things you said is really interesting. I've seen my wife do as well with her business is have certain buckets for certain clients, right? And I wanted you to elaborate on that a bit more. So say you have that startup that they don't really have a clear direction, budget's very small, and you're like, hey, I want to help you guys, but you know, I don't know what you charge. Just say you charge $150 an hour. I charge $150 an hour. You guys got a $50 budget, but I can get you to my assistant who will design it and you can pay your $50 an hour and I'll approve the project. Is that what you mean by certain types of buckets? So you're still capturing the revenue, but you may be delegating the work, or what do you mean by that?
So that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So for me, so let's just say a startup comes to me, depending on where they are in the startup phase. And like sometimes startups they've already made that leap and they do need some things. Personally speaking, I don't think websites, logos, social media presence, business cards, any of that stuff will get you money right out the gate. So I typically offer consulting or coaching to those clients. So for example, if you come to me and you've just got your LLC, but let's say you've been doing it for a while, but you just weren't calling it a business, we need to now figure out how we structure you. How do we attract clients? How do we price your products and services is a big one. How do we pay ourselves? Those are not things that brand strategist Chrissy does, right? So that's more of my consulting piece that I just so happen to have a really good knack for. I went to school for business. Everything in my business is really streamlined and really well documented, and I can do all kinds of things. So that's kind of the service that was really birthed inside of Color Addict, because I was reaching, what was happening is I was meeting all these entrepreneurs and providing them with advice and structure and just ideas and showing them systems that I use and sometimes even sending them copies for free. And I was realizing, actually it happened with me with a website client. We would be on these calls for hours. And then she said to me one day, can I just talk to you every single week? And I was like, you sure can. It'll be, bleh. And I just blurted out the first number that made sense to me. To be honest, it was a number that I heard from someone else. Sure. I probably should have been charging, or definitely charge a lot more now, but at the time I should have been charging a lot more. But that's how I kind of got developed that service, because that's how I help now. And then I also kind of, to be perfectly honest, I turn down a lot of those customers and I give them resources to do it themselves. Because when you're in the first 1 to 3 years of your business, your brand is going to change so much. Color Addict does not look at all what it looked like before. And so for me, it doesn't make sense to even if you're working with a professional like me, you don't have the answers I need to do my job successfully. And so with that being said, I typically tell them to do it themselves or hire someone on like Upwork or Fiverr or one of these smaller platforms but still have an idea of what you're looking for, but hire someone else to do that work and you do the work of the business. Right. So actually running the business, making money, being profitable, right? None of the cutesy stuff, because you can do all of that without it. People don't believe me, but they always come back, right? So I build relationships with my clients more than anything, and that's what really works for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think that that's a huge missed opportunity, is people that have the turn and burn mentality, right? We spend all this time, money, energy, getting someone to become a client, and then you hit them once and then you let them go. You don't realize that could be repeat business. That cuts down on everything: marketing costs, time, absolutely, money, and energy. So maybe talk to us a little bit about how you expanded your business with your current clients.
Just to piggyback off of what you were saying, my goal always, and especially with my clients as well, is to build brand faithful customers. Brand faithful customers are people who will literally eat anything out of the palm of your hand. Like, you launch it because your name's on it, I'm getting it, right? So it's actually possible. I have plenty of them. And so what you want to do is work on things like building customer delight, look up what that means. Just making sure that you have a really good CRM. I recommend one called Close. A lot of people don't know about it. It's spelled with a Z. I'm going to repeat that again. Close, spelled with a Z. Because when I first learned about it, they just said it and I was typing in Close and it was not coming up. So I always make sure it says with a Z. But that's a really great one. It does things like, it will give you an agenda for the day. It automatically, by the way, connects with like your email addresses and stuff. It will organize your people and it will tell you like, hey, you haven't talked to Josh in 3 weeks. Do you want to reach out to him? So that's what helps me like maintain these relationships and make my customers feel like more than just customers. They're essentially part of my family. They're part of my team. So just making sure that I'm forever providing resources. My Instagram, my email marketing is constantly giving out resources, free workshops. I go live every week. So I'm constantly touching base with people as much as possible.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I'm glad you brought up the CRM, because I think it's the most underutilized weapon that anybody in business or in sales has at their disposal that they either don't use or they don't use correctly. Correct. So it's a huge talking point. One of the things that I was really interested in talking to you about, and maybe this can be referenced for more to your medium-sized customers, but how important has it been for you, and how do you advise companies that say have employees, right, or several employees, and people want to create their own personal brand? So, you know, is there a strategy with having employees create their own personal brand, and what has that done for you and your business?
Just to clarify, you mean how do you still maintain a personal brand with having a team?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we're at a point now where, just for me, right, the last company I was at, I've got the podcast here. You know, I just put out my first, wrote a chapter in a book. So that's coming out. So I do a lot of different things, and they know that I get in commercial real estate, and they had a problem that I had like a personal brand. Right. And they're like, hey, we don't like you're so public. And I was like, yeah, but I'm a lot of people come to me for sales advice, right? Or leadership advice. They want to know about your company because I'm out in the world talking to people. And so I think that some companies have an issue with personal branding, where I think that employees of a company should be out there becoming a thought leader and you know, sharing their expertise.
I gotcha. So I have a few situations like that, especially because I work with contractors very often. And so, of course, sometimes they have their own businesses. Me personally, I'm going to try to say this in not a cocky way. I'm very confident in my abilities and my skills. And I know that my contractors or whoever works for me or my team members, they can never take my clients. So that whole mindset comes from a place of fear. Like a lot of, mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying, like a non-compete type of thing. Comes mm-hmm. from a place of fear, you being worried about your clients leaving you. If you do the best you can do, your clients are going nowhere. I'm not worried about that. For example, my marketing director, she also has like a little side thing where she does like stickers and like all kinds of things. I'm not worried about that. In fact, I help her. I'm actually critiquing her logo. She sent it to me via email. I got to send her a video giving her feedback on it. So I'm not really concerned, just because I know if I do my best. And then also, if you really care about your clients, just to wrap it up in a little bow, if you really care about your clients, if that person is the better person, then so be it. That's what they need. Give them what they need. I'm never that person. Even when I'm in consultations with clients, I'm going to give you the best next steps with or without me. Like, I'm not married to you because I know, I guess in a nutshell, I have an abundance mindset. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried, right? I'm not worried. I'm not going to chase down one little client because they're looking at your personal Instagram and seeing that you do the same thing and they can just cut me out. Go do it.
Right. Yeah.
Go do it.
I think that's the right type of mindset and a beautiful mindset. One of the things that you mentioned early on when we had this conversation was talking about how you really had to get your discipline in check, you know, making that shift. And so I just wanted to, if you could give us a couple things that you do to help, you know, instill personal discipline. If you have any success habits that things that have really made the needle, or maybe there are books you've read that really helped make that shift.
Yeah, I have a lot. I mean, I'm a Capricorn, and so we're naturally very discipline, but we tend to take it over the edge a little bit. Just to name a few, I use calendar blocking very heavily. I literally live off my calendar, personal and business. Literally, my mom will say, hey, what are you doing this time? Check your calendar. Like, everyone around me knows I live off of my calendar. It's necessary because I am required in lots of places and I cannot rely on my human brain, and neither should anyone. Brains are not databases. They do not store information. They hold memories, scents, smells. They store different information, not data. So don't rely on your brain is, I guess, tip number two. Document wherever possible, create like some type of knowledge base for your company. I use Trello. So essentially anytime that I'm, let's just say, for example, a great example happened today. So Gabby, she needed me to, what did she ask me for? She needed me to, show her how to create a dash card on our Trello board. And so naturally you'd probably hop on a call with them, walk them through how to do it. I don't do that. I instead use Loom, LOOM, very heavily. I record the video, I make it generic, but using her use case as an example, and I store that in my company documentation. I call it a knowledge base so that anyone else who needs it in the future, I send it to them. Another thing I talked about in the beginning is morning routines and getting up and getting dressed every day. Super crucial, literally one of the game changers, because you cannot get things done on your living room sofa or in your bed. You're not in the working mindset. It's just not going to happen. You might be able to get some things done, but as far as like being really productive, you need to reduce as many distractions as possible. I turn my phone on Do Not Disturb. I have two separate phones. I can go on and on from productivity. I use Trello very heavily as a project management / task management system. I track my time. Oh, one that's right here on my desk. These little timer cubes, we're actually working on producing these, but you can get them on Amazon. I have a link on my website, coloradic.com/tools. And this is really good for, like, let's say if this call needs to wrap up in the next like 10 minutes, or even if I have 10 minutes I need to work on something, instead of setting a timer on your phone, which you're going to get distracted 100%, you're going to start scrolling on Instagram, notification popped in, now you're on the phone with your mom. Instead of doing that, you just flip it on its head. It's real quick and easy. It sets the timer automatically. Love these things. All kinds of like hacks with Gmail and all kinds of things. I'm kind of like a real techie type of person. I used to work in tech. And so I have lots and lots of things, but we can dive in on any of the ones if you have questions, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I love the timer thing, because that's something that I don't think I've ever talked about this, but I did as a salesperson. I'd set a timer for 60 seconds. I cut all distractions. I just tunnel vision on making my dials. And then people would be like, hey, how do you make 50 dials every day? I'm like, oh, I just do it in like, you know, an hour. They're like, it takes me all day to do 30. I'm like, it, cause you, I compress time, right? Like, I work with a sense of urgency. So I absolutely love that. Is there anything else that you do in the morning to like a gratitude or affirmations or anything like that to really start to set that mindset? Cause you've mentioned that a few times, right? But especially with the mindset when it comes to abundance, your way of thinking, I usually like, has to be reinstilled in us, at least for me daily.
Yeah, for sure. I used to, so when my morning routine is ever developing, right? So I used to do like affirmations in the morning, and they definitely help and they work for sure. So anyone who's kind of getting in their heads, definitely still do those. But currently I can walk you through literally my morning routine.
Sure.
I make my bed every single day. I don't care. Of course, I'm going to try to do a workout, usually around between 7 and 8. So I can get ready for work and start work at 9. I'm very spiritual. So I have like a meditation room. And so I'll light candles around my house because I like my house to smell good. You know, aromatherapy is really big. Even if it's not actual like essential oils, but smelling good, it helps lifting you a little bit. I see your plants in the background. Those help as well. So I water my plants. I meditate. I light my candles. I bless my home. And then I already talked about meditation. Those are kind of some of the practices I do today. To be perfectly honest, I love to set expectations. So it's not every single day, but I try my best to get to those, especially if I'm not running late for work, which my sister thinks is hilarious because I work from home. People think I can't run late for work, but I can, and I often do. So I try to start at a certain time, try to finish at a certain time. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, most of the morning, I mean, I'm a woman, so it takes me a little bit to get ready, just doing my hair, that kind of thing. But I definitely recommend, especially those solopreneurs, to still do that, still get up and get dressed. It doesn't have to be like, I wear hoodies a lot. It doesn't have to be like dressy, but just feel good. Whatever is your normal, whatever makes you feel good. Like if someone said, hey, let's go to lunch, you don't have to change clothes. Whatever that is, you need to wear every day so that you can show up the way you need to show up. A lot of people get stuck in like, I've had calls with clients. One time I was meeting with one of my coaching clients. She got up and walked away and she had no pants on. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to see your butt. One. And two, get dressed. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Oh, especially in today's world of Zoom. And I think it is important to develop it's important to develop a routine and habit when you're working from home. I was always corporate in the office. And then it wasn't until last year I started working from home full time. I joked, yeah, my commute's up the stairs, you know. But then I noticed that, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall with Jason Segel. And anyway, but she like makes a joke. He's a composer. And she's like, you've worn the same sweatpants for like 5 days in a row, you know? And I had one of those moments where I was like, oh shit, I haven't like changed this week. Like, I was like, I gotta get, you should be no different than if I were going to, you know, a 9 to 5, you know, technically speaking, every day to get into that routine, because the way it sets up my mind. So I think that that's
exactly, there's a reason why corporations, like for example, in banking, I worked at a Fortune 500 banking company. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why, even though you're on the phone with clients, they make you come in with a suit and a tie on, because they understand the psychology behind it. Don't slip on that stuff. I mean, I'm not in no way, shape, or form telling people to walk around bow ties on, but whatever makes you feel good, wear that. All right. Like, it's super important.
Yeah. I totally agree. A couple more questions for you, Chrissy. Do you have, I know you said it sounds like you're big on Instagram, but do you have a favorite social platform or a way, do you think that it garners, if someone's great, you know, they want to really build their brand online, where'd be the best place to start? Is that Instagram, or is it all platforms, or is it really just, you know, find your tribe and go there?
Yes, the third option. So a lot of people ask me that question, and it really just depends on who your customers are. So again, go back to that. I have a really great resource on my Instagram. You got to scroll down a little bit for it, but it's in our IGTV. It's live. I did where I literally walk you through the process of building client profiles. You can also just Google customer persona, client profile, go to the images, don't look up articles. Images are much easier to read and just quickly glance through, find one you like and fill it in. That's going to tell you where to show up. You don't need to be everywhere. You are not Nike, right? And even Nike's not everywhere. Like, yeah. Nike does not have a clubhouse, okay? So like, you don't need to be on every single platform. You need to show up in the platforms that your customers or your clients are looking for you in. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time and energy, which we all know we do not have. Yeah. So it's more important to understand where you need to show up. A lot of people always think the all mindset. People come to me all the time. They're like, can you just put me everywhere? But you're not going to show up consistently everywhere. So you're literally wasting your time.
Right. Totally. I've been helping my wife out a little bit, you know, with her business. And so I was building her like a LinkedIn business page today. It was interesting though. I saw that she has a Pinterest page. Mm-hmm. I do too. And I'm always posting shit on there all the time. And I get like 4,000 views a month. My wife's got four followers, but she has 20,000 views a month. And she's not putting anything on there. And so right away, I was like, oh my God, her people are there, because she's an interior design, right? So they want to see all the pretty pictures and that type of thing. But she's not on that platform as much. And so just coincided exactly with what you're talking about.
Exactly. That's a beautiful example, because where something's more visual, you're going to lean to to things like Pinterest, to Instagram, maybe even YouTube, if you're comfortable with doing videos, where if your clients are more like written, they want to see articles, and you might lead more to like a blog post, or even doing guest blog posts, email newsletters, LinkedIn. LinkedIn's actually really good for both. And quick note on LinkedIn, LinkedIn is really trying to compete with like Facebook and Instagram and all of the larger platforms. So it's a really a good platform to just at least have a presence on. I usually don't say that, but because they're trying to compete, you're going to get a lot of reach on that platform.
I agree. Yeah, I think the organic reach is probably the best at a lot of the different social media platforms right now. Mm-hmm. Christy, kind of wrap this up. I wanted you to give only 20% of the audience is women, unfortunately. Hopefully we can expand that. But I did want you to talk about your other business and what you're doing for female entrepreneurs, and if anybody wants to reach out to you about that.
Yeah. So the other business was actually birthed out of like my consulting / coaching practice. With consulting, I'm much more hands-on. And so that's why I call it consulting, but it really is coaching in the style that we do it. And so essentially I started a company. This was not my intention actually, which a lot of companies form this way as well. So essentially what I did is I went on Facebook and I was like, hey, I'm looking for business besties. Like who wants to join me? We're going to meet every single week, blah, 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 blah. So that was my intention in the very beginning. Got waitlisted, got very overwhelmed, right? Like lots of people signed up, right? Cause at the time it was free. So lots of people signed up. I got very overwhelmed, scheduled our first session, did about 6 months of it with this flow of me trying to participate and still get what I was looking for out of it. And it literally morphed from day one into Chrissy coaching. And so from that point, getting feedback, I took the first 6 months, that pilot group, and kind of took the first 6 months to understand like what people were struggling with, where everybody was. And then I built my build, grow, and thrive model based off of that. And so, which I can talk more about in a future episode or something, but essentially I then pivoted the group. I only lost one member, pivoted the group into a paid group. And we've been rocking and rolling ever since. We do workshops every single month. We do a weekly session, which we're now changing this actually at this very moment. It hasn't started yet. It's starting in March, where we're changing the structure of the premium member. Premium members used to meet every single week for 90 minutes. Then we now meet once a month for 90 minutes. And that's still going to include the workshops and the hands-on learning, the coaching. We get into your business to the point where everyone knows what you specifically do, where you're challenging. You'll also learn how to give constructive feedback. It's a really, really great community. We have an offline community as well. I call it offline, but it's really still online. It's a Slack room. So that's the second tier of membership that you can sign up for.
That's awesome. That sounds great. And where can people find if they wanted to reach out to you about that, and or if they wanted to work with you with Color Addict, where would be the best place to find you?
Yeah, the best place is going to be the website. So Color Addict is spelled with K's. Both K's, KOLORADDIKT.com. And then Boss Bish is Bish, not Bitch, BAWSEBISH. Bish is like something that we used to say maybe in like the 2000s, like Bish. It's not. People always mispronounce that. And so that you can find us on both of those websites, or you can go on Instagram. It's at both of those. For Boss Bish, it's Boss Bish Moves, but for Color Addict, it's just Color Addict. You can find us on either of those. We respond to every single message every time.
Perfect. Well, I will list both of those companies and connections in the show notes for everybody listening. Christy, it's been great talking to you. I've had a lot of fun. I've learned a lot from you, and kudos to you for your success. I really love what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.